Now we're turning in our Bibles to the New Testament and to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. That chapter will be, of course, familiar, yet it is important that we read it together. And could I say, while you're looking that up, it's a joy and a privilege to be here and to share with you again in one of your harvest services and to see the church so beautifully decorated. We're reading from the verse 13. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, in the verse 13. Now there had been a dispute going on. Somebody has died, and the eagles are gathering to see what's for them. You know, sometimes when family dies, you discover there's friends come that never realized they were friends before. But that's the case here. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, there is much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Amen. And again, we know the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. We're going to bow our heads together for a wee moment of prayer, and then we will come to the scriptures. Our gracious God and our eternal and loving Heavenly Father, we are glad that we can gather ourselves together in this harvest service with your people around your word to meet with thyself. And our Father, we thank you for your goodness and the provision of a harvest. And we rejoice that there's no good thing that you withhold from them that walk uprightly. And we thank you for the words of the psalmist when he could say, I was young, but now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And so we render our gratitude and our praise and our thanks for the goodness of God and giving to us of the material things of life, and also for the spiritual health and strength that we enjoy. O God, we thank you tonight for the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And we pray that you'll bless your people this night and encourage them, and those who may be out of Christ without a Savior, that you'll draw them in that irresistibly by your Spirit, bring them out of darkness into light and from the power of Satan unto God, that this night might be a crowning night in their life. Bless your word to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take as our text the latter part of verse 15, where it says there, A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Very, very simply, we're going to look at the last night in a fool's life. The last night in a fool's life. Now, the Bible has much to say to the fool. And there's not many people in this world, irrespective of who they are or what they're doing or how they live their life, that like to be identified as a fool. And yet Jesus identifies them again and again in his word because the Bible talks about the language of a fool. And the scripture says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there are many in this world And they look out across the beauty of God's creation, and they deny that God exists or God ever spoke it into existence. But actually, that verse of Scripture is even more specific. Not only does it say that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, but the literal ending of it is that the fool has said in his heart, no God for me. And sadly, there's many in our world tonight and many in Ulster. That is the attitude of their heart and their life. They have room for pleasure. They have room for business. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in their heart for which he died. No God, not in my life, not in my business, not in my home, not in my family. And they lift up the fists of their heart in rebellion against God, and they refuse God any place or claim upon their life. The Bible speaks about the laughing of a fool. And he or she is a fool who laughs at things that are sacred and holy. In fact, the Bible says that the laughing of a fool is as the crackling of thorns under a pot. And there's many today in our own province, and without serious thought, they make a mockery of things that are holy. Despise the work of Calvary. Then the Bible in our portion tonight speaks about the last of a fool. And it always comes to that particular moment in every man's life. No matter how you consider the individual in the chapter, you have to come to this conclusion that God had particularly blessed him in the physical and in the material realm. He had everything, and yet he had nothing. But the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? That's what happened in the chapter. This man gained much of the world, but tragically, he lost his soul. Now, there's many people in this world, and they are very powerful, and they are very popular. We have so-called stars and film stars, people, performers in this world, and they get much of this world's praise, and they get much of this world's popularity, and they get much of this world's power. But you'll always find someone in the world that doesn't appreciate them or doesn't like them. It's not possible to gain the whole world. It's not possible to gain all of this world's power or all of this world's popularity or all of this world's praise. And yet the Bible says if we did and lost our soul, what would the profit be? Because it always comes down to that last day, that last moment, that last night, when we draw our last breath, speak our last word, take our last step. And though this man did not realize it, that was about to happen in his life. Friend, can I ask you tonight, if you shut the Savior out of your life, you love gospel singing, you love to hear those who testify of God's grace, you love the atmosphere in the meeting, but yet you have never given your life personally to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a foolish thing. You could go to hell from the church pew. Tonight, for a little while, we're going to look at the last night in this man's life. Now, the Bible speaks that his life was successful. In the verse 16, it says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And there Jesus is emphasizing how successful his life was financially and materially, and all that wealth provided for him a lifestyle that would have been the envy of many people in his generation. Anything he wanted, that was well within his reach. It was at his fingertips. The Bible says there in verse 16 that his ground brought forth plentifully. And that word plentifully, of course, indicates that his ground was fertile, his crops produced abundantly. They did so well. He always had a bumper harvest. In fact, we find him saying in his heart, "What shall I do? I'll pull down my barns and build greater." It's not a problem getting it, it's a problem knowing what to do with it. I was reading there recently where Bill Gates, founder of the Microsoft Corporation, was listed as the world's richest man, worth $170 million per month. That's unimaginable. And also John D. Rockefeller, he had simple rules for anyone who wanted to become rich in this world. He said, go to work early, stay at work late, and find oil. And this man had found a bumper crop of oil. So much so that he has plans for his retirement. For he said he had enough goods laid up for many years in the verse 19. So he had so prospered that he could live off the interest of what he had already accumulated. And because of that prosperity, saying in his heart, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The Bible tells us of his prosperity, of the success of his life. But also, you'll notice, not only was his life successful, but tragically, his life was selfish. And God said to him in verse 20, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all those things be which thou hast provided? Imagine call a man of wealth a fool. And we saw someone who worked hard and labored in the land or in the factory or in his office or in his work. But everything he had, he squandered it like the prodigal son. We would say that man's a fool. But here's a man had laid up great treasures on earth and he had not spent it foolishly. And Jesus said, you're a fool. And I don't think that Jesus said that because he was rich. And I don't think that Jesus ever said in the Bible that it's a sin to have money. But what the Bible does condemn is the love of money. And that's why he said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he hath. It's not a sin to have money. But friend, it's a sin when money has you. That was the problem here. And that's why God calls him a fool. There was the greed that mastered his life. And when you look at him and you listen to what he is saying, you will discover this, that his world was no bigger than himself. His whole life was centered upon what he had and the desires to have more. As you read the parable, you will discover this, that he keeps using personal pronouns and possessive pronouns. What shall I do? I have no room. This will I do. It's me, it's I, it's mine. It's my fruits, it's my barns, it's my goods, it's my future. And he is totally self-centered. But with all that, there was something missing. God was missing in his life. He never sees through what he has. He only sees what he has achieved, and there is no man tonight can hold up his head and stick out his chest and say that I have gotten this or that by the power of my own might, because everything you and I have, we have it because God has given us health and strength and soundness of body and mind, enablement that we might labor and toil for those things. It is God's provision to us. But God was never mentioned in his life. Friend, is God in your life? You and I could not live physically without him, because the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. People live as if God didn't matter. God matters in your life. You couldn't live without God. You couldn't physically live without God. Now I know that in our world there's many people, and they will say, I can live very well without God, and tragically some live without God. And others will say, and I can die without God. And sadly, there's many people, and they die without God. But friend, there's one thing you will never do without God. You will never get into heaven. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And another occasion, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. Now, you and I live in a so-called multicultural society. And they tell us that everybody's making their own way to heaven. The Muslim's getting his road to heaven. The Jew's getting his road to heaven. It's a load of bunkum. And if that is true, the Bible's rubbish. But the Bible's true. The other is rubbish. Jesus said, there's one way and only one way to heaven. And I am the way. Friend, are you on that way tonight? Is Jesus in your life? Is he your Savior? That's why God identifies this individual as a fool, not because of his wealth or anything like that, because he has left God out of everything. And sadly, that's how many live their life today. No God, not in my life. It's a selfish way to live, because we couldn't draw another breath or speak another word or take another step or carry out another act without God giving us health and strength. But then the Bible speaks and tells us that his life was not only successful, and it was, not only selfish, and it was very selfish. My friend, it's a selfish way to live your life, to take all that God has given to you and yet never think that God has a rightful claim upon your life. And then his life was short. He had plans for the future, but he did not realize this solemn truth, that his future was limited not to years and not to months and not to weeks and not to days, but to that night. God said, this night. Friend, this night's always an important night. This day is always an important day. There'll never be another day like this in your life. This day will pass, and this day will have to be accounted for at the great white throne of God's judgment. Man is always living in the tomorrow. What he'll do tomorrow, what he'll be tomorrow, where he'll go tomorrow. God says, today, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. This is an important day. Friend, you need to grasp that truth. For God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I went to see a man on one occasion, a man in his early 50s, again a very, very prosperous man. And no doubt I'd gone there to speak to him about spiritual things. And I was shocked and alarmed what he said to me. And I said to him, by way of introduction, to speak to him about spiritual things, I said, John, God has really blessed you. He said, I'm like the rich man. I need to pull down my barns and build greater. And within 6 hours of my visit, he was dead. And this man did not realize that before the day was done, death would be knocking on the door. And there was an appointment that he had to keep, and there was an appointment for which he was not prepared. Amos the prophet says, prepare to meet thy God, friend. The Bible doesn't say prepare to die. And there's nothing wrong with preparing to die. If you want to prepare to die, then you go into a solicitor's office and you sort out your legal affairs. But that's only preparation for death. Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. You need to prepare for what lies beyond death, what lies beyond the grave, what comes after the funeral. And have you made any preparation to meet God? And there's no getting out of that appointment. Oh, the Bible reminds us of the brevity of life. In fact, the Bible tells us that man that is born of a woman is a few days. The Bible tells us that our life is swifter than a weaver's shuttle, like water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. You remember David running into the presence of Jonathan, his friend, and he said, Jonathan, there is but a step between me and death. That man's about to take that step, but he's not ready. Friend, if you were to take that step tonight, are you ready? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, this one thing I know. I know whom I have believed. Friend, you can know, and something more than that, you need to know. You must know. You must know now. For thou knowest not, the Bible says, what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. And this man had made no preparation. And Jesus calls him a fool and says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. We just conclude with this thought. Jesus said to him, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. That word required is a very important word, because that is a banker's term. And what actually was happening here, that word require, it's a banker's term, it means to call in a loan. Banker gives somebody a loan. Then after some time, the banker will call in the loan. Now, your life and mine is just on loan. God's calling in the loan here. Sadly, the man has nothing to pay with. We often talk about people who are 70 years of age and over as being on borrowed time, friend. All of us live in borrowed time. From the very moment we're born, we're living on borrowed time. And one day God will call in the loan. Have you anything to pay with? Or will you be bankrupt in his presence? And hear him say, depart from me. The story is told of a conversation between a young man and an older man, and they were discussing the young man's future. And the young man was telling the older man how he was working for a trade. And the older man said, and when you get your trade, what then? He says, I aim to be the best at my trade. And the older man said, what then? He says, I plan to set myself up in business. And the older man said, what then? Well, he said, I would hope that I would make myself a very comfortable living. And the older man said, what then? He said, I'd like to get married, like to settle down, like to have children. And the older man said, what then? Well, he says, I probably retire, grow old. The older man said, "What then?" He says, "I probably die." And the older man said, "What then?" And the young man said, "I haven't thought that far." And friend, when you've lived your life and you've died and you've left this scene of time and you've gone into God's eternity, what then? Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, man dieth, he wasteth away, he giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Friend, where will you be 5 minutes after you're dead? God's heaven or God's hell. Everything this world can give you will not make you rich before God. Can I exhort you tonight? Because none of us know what a day brings forth. None of us know why this night will end. But saved by God's grace, come life or come death, be well with your soul. Will you gamble your life upon the uncertain tomorrow? Friend, step out on the promise. Get under the blood. Trust Christ and do it now. For this night, God could call in the loan. Bring it all to an end. Be sure you're saved. Be sure you're saved now.